to our text number, gameon@rte.ie is our email address, @gameon2fm. We'll find us on Twitter. It's time for us to chat soccer. We'll hear from Eamon Dunphy in a moment. The Irish squad is in Malahide preparing for Friday's World Cup qualifier away to Sweden, that ahead of the game against Austria tomorrow week, both matches which will be live as part of this programme here on 2FM. The Italian named his trim 23-man squad over the weekend. Most of the focus, almost all of the focus, probably fair to say, has rested on the absence of Kevin Doyle, who was only on the standby list. More on that in a moment, but perhaps we should be worrying more about Zlatan Ibrahimovic rather than Kevin Doyle, with Richard Dunn out and Sean St. Ledger regaining full fitness. Trapattoni was today focusing on his central defensive options.
Oh, yes, we have many options. And we have the alternative, John with experience, and also Clark in this moment is also in good condition. And we have also Odia and also St. Ledger. We have a good option, but I think we must to think about this striker, the Sweden.
The tall striker.
How do you solve a problem like Zlatan Ibrahimovic?
Come fai a risolvere il problema di Zlatan Ibrahimovic?
Yes, it's okay. Zlatan is Zlatan, but what I said to you yesterday, you have to think about the game against Poland, because with this balance, attitude, commitment, also our technical, because it's not only this. We have to go in Sweden with very, very confident.
Well, Zlatan is special. He's a very special player. Will you put one player on him?
Yeah. No, in this moment I don't think so, because I know who is play, how play in this moment, in this scrap. But I think with a good balance our teams, we can also to force them also think about our strength.
Sure. I know you may have explained this yesterday, Giovanni, but the decision to leave Kevin Doyle out of the squad, was that the most difficult decision you've had to make?
No, it's very difficult. I have also difficult decision. Many months ago, I have very difficult to build the teams. Now I am in difficulty to choose the players, because in this moment I am very happy for this. We have the quality. Also, Kevin is in our heart. But it's now we have come back also. Robbie scored also last week. He played also yesterday. And then we have the same Salmon. We have Cox. We have also Shea Long. We have many.
But you remember Kazakhstan and Kevin coming off the bench and the impact he made.
Fantastic, fantastic. But there is the moment, maybe also in the next future, he's coming again. But in this moment, it was not very good, in good condition, fit condition, psychologically. No, not the fit, psychologically. Yeah, I think about also the others, also the no option.
Even though Doyle scored the winner for Wolves on Saturday?
Doyle ha segnato.
Yes, I know. Other strikers score, but it's not this. It's which condition he has in this moment. In this moment, there are other strikers with most enthusiasm, most situation.
Do you think at this point that you know your first 11 for Sweden? If there are no more injuries, do you know the team you'd like to play on Friday night?
No, yes. I repeat what I said at the last press conference. It will be important in these two games not choose start one or two, choose the moment important to change, because we have this without injury, we can have this time to think about 1 hour, and maybe the last 30 minutes can be very, very important. I think because we have fresh energy, and we have also creative players, the striker in this moment.
That's Giovanni Trapattoni chatting to our soccer correspondent Tony O'Donoghue in Malahide earlier. Eamon Dunphy, good evening to you.
Good evening.
Thanks for joining us. The big story of the weekend are certainly, as always with one of Trapattoni's squads, it's generally the omissions we end up talking about rather than the players who are actually called up. Surprised that Doyle isn't in?
I would be, yes. I mean, he did really well in Kazakhstan, and we would probably lost that match without him. And that's only September. He's playing in a struggling side. He scored on Saturday. I think he's a much better player than Conor Salmon. I think it's a slightly mad choice or decision.
The argument has been put forward that, you know, even Dean Saunders a couple of weeks ago has been critical of Doyle, has said he's lost the eye of the tiger. He hasn't been featuring that regularly for Wolves of late. People talking about, you know, Salmon has scored 8 out of 40, Doyle 8 out of 39, that perhaps that they're on a par, or Salmon playing in a better team is a better call.
Well, I don't agree with that. I think it's rubbish. Conor Stammen is nowhere near as effective a player at this level, or experienced either, than Doyle. Mm. Kevin Doyle is, you know, has been a very, very good player. He's our best player probably at the European Championships. If your club side is struggling, you know, form is temporary, class is permanent. Kevin Doyle should be going to Sweden. He's a much better player than Conor Stammen. End of story. I don't think anyone would argue otherwise, apart from Mr. Trapattoni.
How concerned are you about the Swedish side we'll face on Friday?
Well, I don't think they're a very good team. We saw them in the European Championships. They were 4-0 down away to Germany and staged this sort of miraculous comeback to draw 4-4. But how did they get 4-0 down in the first place? Some of their players are very, very ordinary indeed. Obviously, Ibrahimovic is a huge player in the world game, and he's a star, but they have some very ordinary journeymen in that side. So I don't think it's the opposition that frightens me. It's our own management.
And, like, obvious, you know, it's in the interview there, obvious concerns over, you know, where we're at defensively. Richard Dunn out, St. Ledger's only played 3 games since returning from an injury that had ruled him out since October. So, you know, where would you be looking for the Irish, you know, defensive lineup, particularly maybe taking into account the fact that Coleman, again, really impressed at the weekend for Everton?
He did, yeah. I mean, we have to manage without Richard, which is very unfortunate. And make the best of what's available. But Wes Hoolahan played and scored in the Premier League for Norwich at the weekend against Sunderland. And he's not going to play. I mean, how many, you know, good Premier League players can we afford to leave out of the team? If you keep making stupid decisions, you'll keep getting bad results. And Wes Hoolahan should be playing and starting on Friday night. Robbie Keane hasn't played a game of football for how long?
Well, I think the MLS season just back underway, but you know you could argue that
since he played a match.
I don't know the stats off the top of my head.
I tell you, it's a couple of months. Mm. You can't walk into a World Cup qualifier with no football. You just can't do it. Mm. And we've got a guy who scored in the Premier League yesterday, and he can't get in the team.
Yeah. So it's ominous, but again, it rests on the manager's shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, you have to take into account the opposition, but only after you've done your own business efficiently and logically and picked your best team. Mm. It's only then that you can start to worry about Ibrahimovic and Sweden and what might await you. If you keep making mistakes in the things you can control yourself, then the ending is usually bad.
So are we to take from that then that in your view our World Cup qualification campaign could well be over this weekend or certainly...
Well, it's been put in serious jeopardy by decisions that are unnecessary, that are whimsical, and some of them are daft. I mean, I read in the paper yesterday here's a plan that Paul Green is going to come on at some stage and save us. I mean, that's daft when you have Wes Hoolahan on the bench. You talk about Seamus Coleman. Seamus Coleman was messed around for 2 years. He hasn't suddenly become a good player for Everton. He was outstanding at the weekend against Manchester City, but he's outstanding 2 years ago, and he wasn't even at the European Championships last summer. So all of these things are going on, and they're constants, and they're damaging the Irish team, and they're damaging our prospects in... You know, these two games are very important. They're critical for World Cup qualification. And we don't appear to be preparing for them very well. Mm.
To maybe move away and reflect on the weekend across channel, maybe aside from the results and the games that actually took place, the issue or the one incident that seems to be dominating most of the attention is Callum McManaman's tackle, the Wigan player, against Newcastle at the weekend. Dave Whelan, the Wigan chairman, coming out to defend him over the weekend. Martinez, the manager, saying, you know, he's not that type of player, which we hear from a lot of managers. Are they right to come out and defend their player, or do you simply have to condemn what was a horrific tackle?
It was a dreadful tackle. I think Martinez generally is very good. He has fined players before in the past, his own players. I don't know enough about McManaman to know if it's, you know, if he does those kind of things. on a regular basis. I suspect I'd believe the manager if he says he doesn't. The problem also is what exactly the referee saw or didn't see, because there was a problem in his eye line.
Mm.
But you would expect the assistant or somebody to review it, and certainly you would expect some response from the Premier League authorities. You just can't allow that kind of thing to happen and not punish it.
And I think the majority of the focus does seem to be resting on the assistant referee, because Sky had a camera angle which was looking just over his shoulder, and how he missed it is inconceivable.
Yeah, it's, you know, it is difficult because assistants are there not in a primary role. They always expect the referee. He wouldn't have known, for example, the referee didn't see it.
Yeah.
I think the answer to problems like this is probably a retrospective review of the incident and a punishment. But it was a dreadful tackle, and it sends out a very bad signal to, you know, kids and to people about the game.
When we look at the league table, Manchester United 74 points from 29 games, Manchester City back on 59. City, again, disappointing by the standards that you would have of the defending champions over the weekend. How do you legislate for a situation where a team like Everton, particularly at Goodison, have had the upper hand or have had the kibosh on them over the past couple of seasons?
Well, I watched the match very carefully. I didn't think the City players tried. And Everton always have a go, and they were coming back from their own upset against Wigan in the Cup, and they were really up for it. They were tenacious, and they played very, very well. City just surrendered. They didn't really want to know. I was astonished at the body language, and have been for almost the whole of this season. They haven't looked committed, and Yaya Touré was missing at the weekend as well. He's an important player for them, but there isn't much excuse. They were very, very poor. I think the manager has lost the confidence of the players, and I think there will be surgery there before long.
Again, we spoke briefly on the programme before about Spurs and you know, Spurs fans, you know, tweeting and texting over the weekend about their now traditional end of season slump. Are they heading in that direction again, beaten by Fulham over the weekend, and Arsenal with that a win against Swansea and a game in hand on the table? The race for fourth place not over yet.
Oh, certainly not. No, I think it isn't. I mean, Spurs fans will argue, or their management might even argue, they had to play into Milan in the Europa League last Thursday, but there's no excuse. And Arsenal have a real incentive now to push on, and it's certainly not over. It's a huge issue for Villas-Boas. If he secures Champions League place, he'll be okay. If he doesn't, he might have problems. And, of course, keeping Gareth Bale is another huge issue for Spurs. Will they sell him? Will they keep him? That might depend on the Champions League outcome as well. So the stakes are extremely high for Spurs in the next few weeks.
And likewise, we look at the bottom of the table. QPR and Reading both on 23 points after the weekend. Wigan with 27, albeit with a game in hand. And then Villa and Southampton just above them with 30 and 31. That result for Villa against QPR could prove to be crucial. And likewise, what a win for Southampton against a Liverpool team where the wheels really fell off the wagon. And defensively, you'd wonder what Brendan Rodgers is looking at there.
Yeah, I mean, they're defensively very poor the previous week against Spurs, and it's a recurring fact that Liverpool do not defend well and haven't all season. But I'm not surprised by Villa. Every time I've seen them, they've had a right go. There's a great spirit in the team, and Paul Lambert, the manager, has stuck by his players. He hasn't made a lot of changes, and I thought the results would turn for them. Wigan also, I think Martinez is an outstanding coach. He keeps producing miracles there with no budget at all. So that's the stakes are particularly high for the relegation threatened clubs this year because of the new television deal. It will cost $100 million to be relegated this year. Hence the panic, the sort of unfortunately Brian McDermott at Reading was a victim of panic.
Mm.
That was a particularly cruel sacking. He's been there 13 years. He's been a really, really, you know, good servant of that club. But owners are frightened they'll miss out on the gravy train. And it's a big gravy train.
And I think for even if you look at it from a QPR perspective, I was reading over the weekend about the championship's financial fair play, and with the figures that came out from QPR last week, were they to, you know, fall into the championship with transfer embargoes and points deductions that they could face, could they not get their financial house in order? You know, that's a club which could be on the brink of going out of business if they were relegated.
Yeah, it's been a very badly run club. You know, changes in ownership and crazy transfer fees paid as well. They paid 12 million for Samba there in the transfer window. That's been a badly run club at QPR. So you reap what you sow, and that goes back to the conversation we were having about Trapattoni and the Irish team. The outcomes in football bear direct relation to the inputs, and if you make a mess of things, if you do your business stupidly, usually the outcomes are relegation and defeat. Amen.